Welcome to the Kingdom ROI Return on Intention Show. I'm your host, Eric L. Dunovit, the Kingdom ROI Strategist. Families and businesses hire me to create, grow, and protect generational wealth by discovering that what they do in their family's living room matters more than what they do in their boardroom or advisor's conference room. On this show, I'm here to tell the stories of families and business owners who recognize that they didn't have a growth problem, they had a relationship and priority problem. We'll hear stories and the journey these families who recognize that business and financial growth weren't what mattered. They know that their relationships and priorities is what's going to determine their outcomes. So stick around to hear the hardships they've faced, the lessons they've learned, and the wisdom they wish they would have known along the way. Each story captures the blessings and the struggles of pursuing return on intention instead of return on investment. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the next 40 minutes where we take the world's broken mindsets and systems and turn them upside down. Hey everyone, welcome to the Return on Intention Show. It is a great day. I've brought you another special guest. You know this. You know my passion is to advocate for families to grow and protect generational abundance and impact for 100+ years. And do that by exposing widespread illusions and minimize the destruction of wealth that happens during your lifetime and beyond. And that's why I've brought in our guest today. Our guest today has lived a life with an understanding that to truly achieve abundance, it's not about the next business or financial strategy. It's about acknowledging that what we do in our living rooms matters more than what we do in any conference or any boardroom. So I look forward to diving more into their story and their journey. So Blake Brennan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited for you to be here. Hey, Blake, would you just kind of introduce yourself to the audience? Tell them a little bit about who you are.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So my name is Blake Brennan. I grew up, I was actually born in Houston, grew up, moved to Brenham, I guess in fourth grade or so. And, my parents were, both, in the business world. My mom started out as a secretary at Compaq back in the day and worked her way all the way up to vice president. And, my dad was in the trucking business. He had a large trucking company and 2,500 trucks on the road and a bunch of trailers and things like that. So I kind of grew up talking about business around the dinner table with my parents. And so, yeah, we moved to Brenham back then, grew up, came here, played baseball for a long time. Was lucky enough to go to college, went to UT San Antonio, go Roadrunners. So, enjoyed my time there and was blessed to actually get a chance to play professionally after that with the Dodgers for about 3 years in the minor leagues. Wow. And, you know, I ended up meeting my wife, Sydney, during that time. And she's kind of a funny story. She's actually from Brenham, but didn't know her when I was in Brenham. She's younger than me, but yeah, met her and really ended up settling down. And baseball was it's a tough life, a tough business, and really wanted to focus on family. Ended up moving back to Brenham, and now I've got 3 kids, 10, 9, and 6. Gabriella is 10. She's the gymnast and probably the most energy out of anybody in our entire family. She can move mountains and she will one day, right? She's one of those. And then my son Knox is 9. He's a baseball player and just a sweetheart. Loves people, loves that. And Jillian is 6 and she is she's going to be the salesman of the family. She can have an adult conversation with any person that's been there. So she's been around me and my wife basically the entire time as the other two were off on themselves. And it's just been a lot of fun. So yeah, that sounds a little bit about us.
What, tell them a little bit about your business.
Yeah. So the name of the company is Brandon Industrial Group. That's the holding company. And we've got multiple businesses underneath it. So we've got Premier Metal Buyers, which is a metal recycling business. And that business focuses on picking up metal from industrial customers people manufacturers. So anywhere from people making railroad cars all the way to new pipe. We are basically hauling off their waste, which is metal scrap, and kind of reverse. We actually pay them to do business with them. So a little different than us charging them, but it's kind of a neat business. That's actually, it isn't actually where we started. We have a trash business also, which is BDR Waste and Recycling. And that one is really focused on similar like waste management. Anybody like that, we're doing business with municipalities, picking up your curbside garbage, curbside recycling, construction trash, waste, you know, all those things. And then we've got a portable toilet business, which is stop and go potties. That one kind of pairs with the construction business and the trash business. And then we've got a demolition business, which is called Priority Demolition, off to the side. And it's kind of a mix between scrap, trash, and everything else kind of in the middle. And then we've got a printing business. So a kind of funny story on that. That started, my mom's actually over that business. It's called Brandit Graphics. And that one actually started when we bought the trash company. We had to get a bunch of stickers printed. And instead of paying for them, we decided, hey, let's do it ourselves. So saved a bunch of money. And now we're in the printing business.
You're in the printing business.
Yeah. So, and then the last one, which is probably it's incredible. It's a God story, but it's called Kingdom Pipe and Steel. And that's a pipe business where we're going to fabricate pilings and foundational products for the construction industry, and then also sell new steel and other parts and products into manufacturers.
Wow.
Yeah. And my wife owns a salon also, Ruby Salon and Boutique. So we've got you covered all over the board over here.
So my next question is going to be really relevant because I'm really curious by your answer. What's your superpower?
Yeah. You know, I was asked that once before, and I think it's vulnerability, honestly. If you're willing to make the relationships and get on a limb and actually be vulnerable enough that you could get hurt, I think incredible things can happen from it.
That's fantastic. You were talking about, we're going to get into a little bit of kind of the kingdom stories and kind of the things that have kind of impacted and affected your life. You said there's an incredible God story sitting inside of the pipe business. I'd just be curious, if you kind of look at your walk with God and kind of the journey that you've been on, what's something that you look back that you're like, man, I've done that well. That part feels really good, like how I've done that.
You know, I would always say that I've always honored my wife, and that relationship between me and her was always, one, she's an amazing woman. Proverbs 31. I mean, she's everything that I ever wanted for her to be. And she's very thankful for her, but, so I told you, vulnerability is not easy, but, for me, but I'll tell you, it's, she's incredible. And I've always done that right and made that a priority for family. And even through all the growing, I've made sure, you know, I never wanted to miss a kid's game. Wanted to be present and all those things, because if it cut into that, it really wasn't worth it to me at the end of the day. So
where have you found your biggest struggle? I mean, you run a lot of businesses and everything like that when it comes to trusting God. Where's your greatest growth happened there?
Yeah, I think let's say this.
Give us a couple of real world examples of like real experiences where that happened.
Yeah, I think that really, patience is a big one, right? For me, of finding the right people to go out and grow these businesses together and do that with, because a lot of it was pride, because the biggest thing that I've had is I thought I could do it all myself. And that's really part of my testimony is that I ran and ran and ran, and the world told me that, you know, it started about people, and it started about changing their lives and really developing people. Mm-hmm. And the world kind of told me it was more about profit and bottom line. And that changed the way that I approach people in the business, and really it came to the end of myself that I felt I'd grown it to where I felt like I was in my own prison and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do and I couldn't do it all myself. I couldn't fix it. I was a fixer. And, I think if you were to ask, you know, what's the thing that I've learned the most is that you can't fix everything. Right. And you got to trust in him that you can do what you can do, but the rest, you got to lay down at his feet and trust people and be vulnerable to them, to have them help you link up with you and join arms and, hey, let's go out for the bigger mission that's out there. Right. Bigger purpose.
So I'm going to test you on your vulnerability because I feel like there's a bigger story behind this.
Yeah.
I'd love you. I think that'd be an incredible use of our time together. Could you tell the story I got the flyover version. Can we go a little bit deeper and kind of tell me kind of how you found yourself there and even how you even realized you were stuck?
Yeah, well, I didn't even realize I was stuck. And that's the thing that was amazing until, so we started this business in 2010 and, we took off and the business grew and, all the way into 2015. Right. And in 2015, you know, as we're in Texas, oil tanked into 2014, 2015. And, I thought I was a lot better at my job than what I really was. Right. And, it was pretty easy when every day I bought something and it was worth more the next day. It hit a lot of my mistakes that I had made along the way. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the business started turning down and kind of, dipping a little bit. And, I have a mentor of mine, his name's Charlie Mancuso. And he was the first person that trusted me, to buy their metal. And I'd leaned into him and learned a lot from him. And he called me one day. It was in 2016. And I had decided that I really needed to diversify. I was like, man, this metal business is super cyclical. I really need something more consistent. We were kind of looking at the trash business. We had a small trash business, but it was quite small. Maybe 1-2% of the revenue of our total business at the time. And, Charlie called me one day and he calls me Bubba. He goes, "Hey, Bubba." He goes, "I either need to grow or I need to go." And I was like, "Okay." He goes, "I want to buy your business." And I was like, "Whoa." I was like, "Well, Charlie, like, you know, I'm flattered by that. I appreciate it. But, you know, I'm 32 at the time." And I was like, "Man, there's a lot of things I still want to do in this thing." I was like, "I just don't think I'm ready." And he goes, "Well, the other option is you can buy me." And I was like, "Okay." I was like, "Well, what does that sound like?" Right. And, you know, we kind of walked through it on the phone right then. And I told him yes. And I was like, "Man, Charlie, I think I can do this." And, you know, as always, I go back to my board as it's a family business and talk with my parents. I'm like, "Hey, here's the opportunity. What do you think?" And my dad's always, he's ready to go. I mean, let's do it. Let's go. Come on. What are we waiting on? And, yeah, the real one of discernment's my mom. And I kind of look at her and she's like, "We need to do this." And I was like, "Whoa." I was like, "Okay, let's do it." So, that's honestly where my testimony, started. I think if I really were to look back, because, I got told no 13 times at least, in buying that business.
Really?
And I often ask, was it my will or his will? Right. Because I pushed really, really hard to make it happen and didn't want to take no for an answer. And I'm thankful for it because it also brought me kind of to the end of myself. We ended up went 13 times, and there's so many great things that have come out of it. I shouldn't say it's not a bad thing. Right. I've learned that if you can be thankful for the bad times, then it's really, you're walking in the right spot, you know?
That's right. That's right.
But got told no a lot, finally found a banker in the group that believed in us, and we got the deal done and we bought BVR. And as BVR took off, we got into it, and man, it's like a dog and you're running, and we doubled overnight in people. We went from 70 people to 140 or 150 people overnight. And, you know, they're all looking at me for the answers, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know the answers. I didn't know the trash business that well. So I dove in and I thought I could handle both of them. And truly, I held it together for a while. We were 2017 was good. The back end of the year, We had a great year, 2018. We 30-35% growth. I mean, it was a massive growth. And then 2019, I was tired and, I was worn out. I mean, plain and simple. And I didn't enjoy going to work anymore. I was miserable. I was very short with people. I started getting with that, and that carried over into my relationship with my wife. And really, I'm so thankful for her saying, "Hey, we've always been best friends, but we were just passing." Right. Mm. Mm. And, thankful for her, because she was like, "Well, you know, let's try counseling and let's do this." And we got into some Christian based counseling and started talking through it and really started working on us. And we got that in a really better spot heading into 2020. Okay. And then in 2020, the first day of 2020, I walk into the office, and 2019 was the first year we never made money as a company in the entire existence. It was the first year, and we ended up paying, we have profit share here as a group, and we ended up paying out some profits, not profits, but for Christmas that year. And, yeah, and came back in January. And one of the gentlemen that was running that business basically came in and said he was leaving. And he was going into business for himself, which I don't, you know, I can't fault you for that. I wouldn't be here if I didn't do it. Right. And, but he went into business against us and took two of the largest customers that we had. And, you know, it was the first time I felt a betrayal, I feel like, that was pretty deep. And, I was scared. I didn't know what it was, because it turned to anger, because I was fearful of losing all of the things that we had built and the people and the things that are there. And, I did what I always do, you know, in those situations, as baseball back in the day, and that is, I kind of gritted my teeth and said, "All right, let's go." And, and we bared down. And then March, you know, everybody knows what happened March of 2020, the world changes. And, you know, the business, I remember being in the office and, felt feeling completely helpless about what can I do in this situation. And we did everything we could. We were thinking through every opportunity, every possibility we could do to get through any of these COVID, you know, the COVID thing and everything else. And luckily, the government came through with some programs that truly, I mean, were a godsend. I mean, because I'm sitting here talking to me and my brother-in-law, like, what are we going to do here? I mean, this is unprecedented. And, you know, I think it's a testament back to God's faithfulness, even through when you're in those spots, you don't even understand it, but he's watching you and he's got his hand on you, you know? Mm-hmm. And, so I was really still, at the end of myself, and I always felt that I was kind of pulling the ball, as so to say. And I was tired and I was burnt out and worn out. And, you know, I really was searching. I was searching for what am I missing? Because I'd gotten to the point where I was financially secure. We'd done some deals and done some things, and I had expanded out, and me and my family, which was the first priority that it started with, was like, I want to provide for them. Hmm. And we'd gotten to the point where, hey, we're fine financially, but I still was missing it was missing. Like it didn't feel it. Right.
Yep.
And, and so as we go along, I have a friend of mine who's a great friend, and it happened over baseball. And, I love that game because it's all I ever knew.
Yeah.
But I got a good friend that, his son is the same age as mine. And I was sitting here talking to him, and my son had made the All-Star team, and just started talking to him. I was like, "Man, I'm struggling." He goes, "Well, what's going on?" And started talking. And we talked for a week. We practice every day. The kids were practicing every day for a week. And I mean, I did a lot of talking. He did a lot of listening, you know? Mm-hmm. And he looked at me, and about a week and a half in, he looked at me and goes, how's your walk with the Lord?
Mm.
And I still remember that because I was like, whew, it still hits me as I think about it now. I was like, you know, in all honesty, not that good. I was born, I was in church. I was there. And did I believe? Absolutely. Was I really living it in everything I did as God calls us to? And that answer was no. And that one was tough. And it required a lot of changes in what I did. And I started talking to him. He goes, you know, start with one thing, start with one thing small. And he started telling me a story of how he recovered. He was a recovering alcoholic and just told me everything that God did in his life. And he said, pray for people.
Hmm.
He goes, the thing I prayed for was people, to put the right people, his people, in your path to help you do whatever it is that God's will is. And he goes, you can't decide that. That's his. It's his. Mm-hmm. To know.
Mm-hmm.
So that day I started praying every single morning about bringing people into the business and bringing people into my life that would help guide me. Really, I mean, cause I was vulnerable. I'd kind of locked myself in my office and I didn't want the world to reach in because I'd just been burnt and it hurt. And I didn't want that, feel that hurt again. So when I tell you that my superpower was vulnerability, it left, it was gone.
Mm.
And, you know, it was, and that was what was hurt the most. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking this path and leaning in and really talking with him a ton, kids through All Stars. And I had all these opportunities in this business. And, I've always been, one of the gifts I feel like God's always just blessed me with is I can see opportunities. And I don't know why. My mom's always said that. I don't even know what I do sometimes, but she's like, you're able to see a conversation and see opportunity in it. And I was like, okay, thanks. I appreciate it. But you know, I wish it would stop sometimes, but sometimes it's good. But I had all these opportunities on the board and I was chasing these big deals. And I was talking with Kevin one night, and it's my buddy, and he was like, man, he goes, what's your real purpose, right? Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing all of it for? And I told him, you know, Kev, I don't know. I said, I think at the end of the day, you know, I thought it was for this, but I'm seeking. I don't know what it is. And in January of that year, this is in 2021. No, this is 2022 now. So it's already fast forward a year. And I was really seeking, focusing on the people back in 21 and really just kind of walking the path. Like, what am I for? And really following my walk. And in 22, I got put on the board at our church and a financial board. And I was like, okay, sure. Love to help. Let me serve. And, our church has an incredible church school that my kids go to. And, it's an amazing school. I mean, they are in the back seat, you know, no more Bible verses than I do. It's just incredible. And a big supporter of it. Well, the church had moved and the school was still at the other spot. We built a new building. And I was chasing these big deals and we were in the first meeting and I started asking, I was like, hey, look, how much does the school cost? Like, I don't understand it. Like, I mean, we're talking about these things. Like, just give me a number. I start at the number. I work backwards. It's just the way my mind always works. And he's like, I don't know, $15 million. I was like, okay. And that was in January. And this whole time we're going through this and I'm chasing all these deals and I was chasing $1.5 billion worth of fabrication work.
Really?
Wow. And it was a big shiny object.
Yeah.
And, but I had 10 opportunities on my whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get anxious, when I don't know where to go and what to do. And I just sat one morning and I was praying and I was like, God, and that was the next thing where I really started letting him lead my direction was when I really started truly seeking his direction through prayer in large business decisions. And, I said, Lord, show me where to go. Like I just opened a door. I said, I need a big red crayon. I'm not very smart. So, you know, show me where to go, man. And I got done praying and I said, $1.5 billion. I said, what if we made 10%? I said, $150 million. I said, what if we gave 10% away? $250 million.
$250 million. Yep.
And so it wasn't about the deal. It was about the purpose. And I told my wife, and she goes, "Well, if you believe it, you need to tell them." I mean, I was scared to tell anybody because I was like, if I say it, I got to do it, right?
Now you got to do it. That's right.
That's right. So I sat on it for a couple of days, and I called our pastor on Friday, and I was like, "Troy, I need to talk to you." And I went in there and talked to him, and I said, "Hey, this is on my heart, and this is what I want to do." And I said, "I don't know how this is going to happen, but I really feel God's leading me here." And this whole time I end up going to this Christian weekend. It's called Tres Dias. And I had a buddy, Kevin, and another guy that he knows. And he asked me to go. And it was an incredible weekend. And I show up. And the first guy that I meet, one of the opportunities, and I'm sorry, I'll go back. One of the opportunities on that board in the far left corner, and I'll never forget it, in the smallest little circle, was pipe. And I'd been buying pipe from some companies for a couple years and never did anything with it. And I ended up going to this weekend, and more, a lot of things were happening. The first guy I met there, his name's Tanner. And what do you do, Tanner? I'm in the trucking business. I was like, "Oh, cool. I know the trucks. Yeah, man. We do it all the time." "Okay. What do you haul?" He goes, "Well, I haul pipe all over the country." And I was like, "Okay." I was like, "Well, cool. I got pipe." I was like, "Let's talk." And, you know, it was one of those things you just kind of can smile like God's really got a hand. And then I go the next morning and I sit down for breakfast, and there's a gentleman, he's about my age, he's 41 years old or 42 and younger guy. And I look at him, I introduce myself. "What do you do?" He goes, "I buy and sell pipe from all the largest oil and gas companies in the United States." And I go, "Excuse me?" I said, "What?" He goes, "I buy and sell pipe from all the largest oil and gas companies in the United States." And I go, and he goes, "And we use it in," and I filled the blank in. I said, "In the piling business." And he looks at me, he goes, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm in the scrap business, but let me tell you a story." And we started talking, and I had just sold some pipe overseas. And I said, "Man, I'd left, and I didn't know if the deal was going to happen. We hadn't been paid." And he looks at me, he goes, "Did you sell it to Diego?" And I go, "Oh." I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, you ain't getting that money, man." I was like, "Oh, come on. You're killing me." But it was a start of something that was incredible, because after that, we both came out of the weekend and really, I gave the business to God that weekend. Mm. And I told him that it can either be bigger or it can be smaller, but it's your will. And that was really the first time that I submitted the business, that it wasn't going to be the largest business in the world. Like, I didn't know. I always in my mind just kept thinking grow, grow, grow. Yep. Never had ever thought about it being smaller, and that's the right decision. But when I gave it to him really that weekend, I came out with probably the most clarity I've ever had, and just really on fire to go out. And what since happened out of that is Kingdom Pipe and Steel. The business has started, and God has continued to align people in this business and brought his people in here. I've got a gentleman just started that been in the steel business for a long time and is a godly man that, you know, he says, "I feel like everything in my career has led me to this point to be ready to honor his name in the highest." And I really found that my purpose, honestly, is not only to help with the school and help with those things, but is ministry in the marketplace and ministry in the workplace. So, you know, you asked the story, it's a long one, but it really is the testimony of how God's brought me to my knees, because I couldn't do it all. And my pride told me I could, and I had to put that aside and say, really, I'm the problem. I had to get out of the way to let the business grow and let the people grow. Cause I was actually not allowing my people to develop and let them grow. And I had to get myself out of the way to say, "Okay, God, where do I need to go?" And that was difficult. I'm not going to lie to you. Cause I've always done stuff. I'm like, what do I do now? I don't know. I'm just, you know, kind of floating around here. What do you need me to do? But that's really the story and what's happened, and God's continued to work, and Kingdom Pipe and Steel has been growing month after month. And God's really blessed us with, incredible opportunities, incredible gifts to go out and really, truly further his kingdom. And it all comes down to relationships, because at the end of the day, the vulnerability that I lost was that I couldn't make those relationships through vulnerability that really make business enjoyable. Yeah. And in turn, life. I mean, God calls us into relationships, and that betrayal stripped that from me until I really laid it back down at his feet. So.
Wow, Blake, that's so incredible. I mean, one of my passions is business in the marketplace, because I truly, I'll share something with you just to kind of get your feedback. We got about 10 minutes left in the show, and I so am so thankful for your story. But marketplace ministry is so important, especially in a culture where we're watching people leave the church.
Yeah.
And I make the comment, I feel like the entrepreneur is the next front line of witnessing opportunity, because people don't have to go to church, but they do have to go to work.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Right there with you. Right there with you. Yeah.
So it becomes just an incredible place to show them who God is and what he's up to, and let him see. I think the other thing that's cool, especially in your vulnerability, is the employees who get to see your faithfulness.
Yeah.
Right. And get to watch you walk that out. Again, we've got about, we had about 10 minutes left. So I'm going to caution you that with the story, but I would love, has there been any, or do you have, I'm sure you do, some examples of just like some things your employees have seen, maybe non-believers or whatever, that you've been able to witness through your walk and through your vulnerability and through pouring into the relationships?
Yeah, no, I think that, through those relationships and pouring into that, there's been a, you know, it's hard to really even put it, I guess, into words at times of how powerful it is with that, because as leaders, we're called to walk the walk, right? And I cannot tell you how many people have walked up and said, man, what's different, you know? And that's a great opportunity, because, I mean, as I told you in the story, I was robbed of the happiness. I was pretty bitter. I was angry and bitter, and that really wasn't me. I'm a loving, open, talk to people, love you, you know, as you can tell with a story that'll keep going, but I can talk to you for 2 hours and then get into really deep conversation, because I really care about people and I want to know more. And opening that up to have those conversations with people has opened up tons of opportunities that they saw. Like, it's unlocked the creativity of the business on a whole different level. And also the efficiency of a business on a whole different level, because people want that relationship. They want to know that they're being heard, but then truly like have that conversation and take that time as leaders to really shepherd that, you know, the herd, and it might be business, but then that might spin into spiritual talks or family or marriage or whatever. And, I think that they really have understood that having the hard conversations is a lot easier. And I think if you would ask what they see different in me, is that I'm having the hard conversations, but I'm having them out of love. Like, I truly love them and I truly want them to be better. And, in the past I would, you know, I'd be nervous in those conversations at times. But if you can really get yourself in the right mindset and pray that, look, I really want the best for what this person is and what they're trying to be, those conversations go a lot easier. And because you care and you're compassionate about their future and their growth. So, yeah, I would say that's probably, if you were to ask, I would say that's probably the biggest thing that's changed. And that has spilled over into relationships with our customers. And, you know, it's I'm having a lot of fun. And I'll tell you that it can be done And I'll tell you that because I didn't think there was a way for it to get back to that point as it was, but God showed me a path and I had to submit first, but he showed it to me. So,
well, this is the Kingdom ROI show. I mean, you surrendered your business and the next thing you know, the rest of your possibilities opened up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the entire concept of the kingdom. It's completely upside down. It does not make sense. In surrendering, you found everything that you wanted.
Yeah.
In relationship, you found everything you needed.
Right. And I think it was really wild that as I surrendered it and said, hey, it can be bigger or smaller for the first time. Yeah. And then God's telling me now, like, it's kind of scary because I don't know what this thing could be. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, the opportunities of people and things. It's like, oh, dude, what did I really do here? Like, really? And, okay, God. And, but he knows.
Well, it's a whole new level of stewardship that he's just inviting you into.
That's right. And, yeah. That's like, okay. All right. You know, but you know, through patience and the right people, he's continued to provide and provide those people along the way. So
that's fantastic. Yeah. Blake, if people want to follow your story or just kind of like, what's the best way somebody listening to the show is like, man, I want to know a little bit more about what he's doing, where he's coming from. What, how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah.
Or follow just the work that you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, we're on LinkedIn, under Kingdom Pipe and Steel. And then I'm on there also. I've not really been the big social media guy, but, I was just going to be honest with you. So,
yeah.
But no, I that's probably one of the best spots. We've got all our businesses on there. Okay. Definitely I'm accessible to that. And, yeah, I mean, we're the path of forward is exciting. I do think that one of the things that's really important is that, if you're ministry in the marketplace is being bold enough and confident enough to have that conversation and those talks, because there's business that will happen and then there's business that won't.
Yeah.
And, that was one of the hardest things to overcome as you're looking in business, because, you might not get a deal because of that. But then the question that I landed on at the end of the day is that really a deal that we wanted?
There you go.
So, I think it's just a way of God opening doors and closing doors. And it's allowed us to continue to discern and find the right paths and truly follow his will. So,
so I'm going to give you a challenge. You've got 3 minutes to answer this question.
Yeah.
But it put a limiter on you, unfortunately. Yeah. This has been such a great podcast, but they do limit us.
No problem.
In 100 years, what do you hope your family remembers about you? It's 100 years from now.
Just the love for him, you know, and that I was a follower of Christ, and you know, that there is an impact here that we left, that we're gone, that goes on for years. Not just, and it's not just financial. And that's a big part of it, to be able to leave a legacy to them, to be able to further the kingdom for years and years. But you know, I kind of thought with that school, like, I mean, it's that school's going to teach kids for years and years beyond this of when we're all gone. And you know, they might veer as I did, but ultimately they'll come back. Right. I think that's really it, is, how devoted I was to them, how much I love them. And truly that we followed God and followed his will and lived it out, not just talked it, but lived it. So
that's beautiful. Yeah. Blake, thank you so much for being here. It's been such a joy.
Yeah, man. I've absolutely really appreciate you having me on, and really enjoyed it and enjoy what you're doing and really, really support it. So you've done a great job and excited to be here.
Yeah. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for being here. Another great show. This is another great show. You know that I run an invitation-only program that helps families grow and protect generational abundance for 100 plus years by exposing widespread planning illusions and minimizing the destruction of wealth during your lifetime and beyond. So because of that, I've got several tips and examples that can help you grow your wealth by discovering that you don't need another business or financial strategy. You need to acknowledge that what you do in your living room matters more than what you do in any conference or boardroom. So please connect with us on kingdomroi.org for more information. We will look forward to being with you again next episode. God bless you. Have a fantastic day. Thank you so much for joining me for the Kingdom ROI Return on Intention podcast. If you're a business owner or a family who recognizes that what you're doing in your family's living room matters more than what you do in the boardroom or advisors' conference rooms, you're open to sharing the ups and downs of the journey and would like to be a guest on the show, then I'd like to invite you to apply by visiting our website, www.kingdomroi.org. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up,
Ratings and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our website, www.kingdomroi.org, or follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Thanks for listening. This is Eric L. Dunavant, the Kingdom ROI Strategist, signing off. Until next time.